different events on, which were there quite good. We had just one sponsored walk, which was very good, well received, where we was able raising funds for the mission. Where we did is 21 miles, 60 bridges, from Droiswich back to Birmingham City Centre. That was quite an amazing thing. People came and joined us. It was a good time of fellowship and good time of sharing. And also on Friday, this Friday I can't be in the prayer meeting because we have a big youth event in St. Martin's Church in the Bullring where hundreds of young people will come all over the city. And we will then share the gospel with them, time of worship, time of fellowship, and praying that God also work in the hearts of the young people in the city. That is very important. And on the 4th, when you have the barbecue, we have then also an open day from the mission, where we also then try to make the work more known to different churches, new churches, which springing up all over the city, that God is really doing things because we need revival. Yeah. We need to remember there are only 3% Christians, born-again Christians, in Birmingham. And nearly 29-30% Muslims. Although we have some work to do.
Yes.
We have to pray, and the Holy Spirit can do it because they are people which are created in the will of God. They create in the image of God, but they're deceived, and they need to know the living God in the same way atheist, agnostic. But that will be the challenge for the next 20 years for the city, because in 20 years, you will have more Muslims in Britain than Christians. That's a fact. Because of demographic changes, because of high birth rate, except we see a mighty move of God in the country.
Yeah.
And God will use it, and you can see it. God used the pressure of Islam on British people to go back and think, what is my faith? What is my belief?
Yeah.
What is my background? And that opened tremendous doors for the gospel. We need to see it's a two-edged sword. Of one side is really a dangerous sword, a sharp sword, because they are straightforward and they're trained against Christianity. But on the other hand, it's also there is a challenge for the church to wake up, not to be inward-looking, not to ticking along, but Lord, to raise up in the power of the Spirit. We have a few books, a book table there, but I believe always in good Christian books which can help us to really to grow in the Lord. One is from Smith Wigglesworth, but I think a tremendous book, God's Transforming Power, is an outstanding book but can help you for your own personal walk, how to grow in spiritual maturity. One is Spiritual Warfare from E. Bounds. It's probably one of the greatest prayer warriors of the 19th-20th century. He amazing. And then one is dynamic prayer, communion with God, how to cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit, how to cultivate your prayer life. And then this one is good, Beyond the Veil of Darkness, as an outstanding old testimony, where God is saving Muslims. In the last 20 years, more Muslims came to know Christ than in the last 1,000 years. Although we see also the Spirit of God moving in the Muslim world, and it's two extremes on both sides. And one is walking divine health. One, like me, a little bit older, we need a little bit biblical knowledge, how to eat healthy, how to keep ourselves on the right path, that we long enough here to see the move of God in our life. And then we have here now the Bible reading from Jeanette. She's always do a great job in reading God's word for us. My Bible, large print, and it's easy to read. You have your glasses?
I walk and read.
Then you don't need the glasses, it's large print.
No,
that's right. I'm sorry for that. First John, First John 4, First, you start here from 77, what? First 7 to 21.
7 to 20. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God is so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
And I think this text is really telling us what is the most important weapon in the church, and that is the love of God. You see, people looking for identity, for love, for respect. And the Bible clearly says that there are only two commandments which combine the 10 commandment and the 643 commandments. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with your whole being, and your neighbor as yourself. Because when you do these two, all other will fall into place. And that is a good news, really. And we today, Father's Day, and really the work of a father in Scripture is to be a leader in the family. You see, that he have a backbone, that he stands up for biblical Christian principles when he's a born-again Christian, and that he lead really the family as an example. That is really the teaching of Scripture. When he can only follow God as an example when he's willing to surrender his life in the first place to God. And the Bible said that we need the Holy Spirit because we are sinners, we are redeemed sinners. When God sees us, he can't. We are perfect before God because he sees Christ, but we still remain sinners until we're in the presence of God. We still have something where we have to work on day by day, what we call holiness, sanctification, where we need to yield ourselves more and more to the Word of God. And the Bible said that anyone who says he has no sin deceive himself, when the truth is not in him. Although we need to recognize that be like your holy Father in heaven. That means we need to strive to perfection. Perfect perfection will be first when we're in the presence of God. Because in the moment we would have perfect perfection, then we don't need to depend on God. And God have designed it a way that we can walk in perfection, but only when we surrender ourselves day by day to the Lord. That is really what the Bible said. That is, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And he said, call no one Father except the one in heaven, Holy Father. And we know the blasphemy of the Pope. Huh? He calls himself the Holy Father when there is only one, because he is not a Holy Father. And we know what he believes is contrary to Scripture. But the Bible makes it very clear that as the Father, we need to copy God. We need to see what God is telling us in his word. And that is the reason why Scripture said here later that behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. You see? And then he carry on, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. And Jesus said, you're in the world, but not from the world. The meaning is people can see the difference because on our principles of life, how we respond to different issues, how we stand out with our value system. That is really what the Bible would say. We're not perfect. We still sometimes fall. We still sometimes struggle in different areas. But then the Bible said in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means we don't need to beat our back up like in false Christianity, is it Roman Catholicism, Anglicanism, or in Orthodoxism, where we try to do penance and all this kind of things to try to earn God's favor. The Bible said that is not working. That is fleshly. The Bible said we should only come to a point of real brokenness and a contrite heart and then repent, and we're restored in the same moment that we stand always perfect before God because of Christ. That's the reason when we had to sing the song is there is no other name given who is higher than the name of Jesus. You see, God have put the fullness of the Godhood bodily in Christ Jesus. And that is the amazing thing, that we as Christians can walk day by day in victory if we are applying the principles of the Word of God. When, in the moment we lay aside the Word of God, in the moment we lay aside our quiet time, our relationship with the Lord, we will go probably much worse than a non-believer, because all hell is on our back and we have no protection. That's the reason why in Ephesians 6 we read, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand in the day of evil. You see, and we live in a time window at the moment where it's a day of evil. When you go out there or you go down in your workplace, then it's very difficult to be a Christian, to express your principles, that people say you're intolerant, you're a bigot, you're racist. I mean, many times when you say, share the gospel, people call you a racist when they don't like what you say, when it has nothing to do with racism. But the thing is today where we need to stand our ground. Are we willing to be identified? Because most Christians are really, they pop up on Sunday morning, and then the whole week they're in underground. And people, the neighbor, people in the workplace have no clue that they're Christians in the first place. And many times they take part in things which is so obviously the opposite to Christianity. Is it yet all this, whatever, these different moral issues which are lobbied, where they join in or meet other religions, think, oh, they have their way to God, we have our way to God, where they have completely watered down what biblical Christianity is. Because the church is today under siege worldwide. We have more Christian persecution in our time than any other time in history. But also through this we saw, when also the early church was persecuted, the church was exploding. Sometimes people were afraid to join the church, but quietly they accepted and saw the good thing in the church. And we, I believe, we live in this time where the Bible speaks of one side there will be a massive apostasy falling away from the faith, but also God said, I will pour out in the last days my spirit on all flesh. It's the same like we have this contradiction. We believe in one God, but in three persons. And when you understand the context, because God had always fellowship in himself. The first word, Elohim, is a plural, singular form of God. that God always said, let us make men, let us confuse the language. God always spoke in a plural form because he had fellowship with himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And in the same way, of one side, the Bible said there will be massive falling away inside the church, where you meet church leaders which believe things, what you think, how can they believe this in the first place? I have so many times people, when I have in Bear with the Book Table on Wednesday, when an Anglican minister or Catholic priest or so passing by, and when I ask them they're born again, they become really angry that I approach them and ask them, are you saved? Are you born again? And then, because you see there is a falling away where things are accepted in the church to get people in, to please men than to please God. But in the same way, we see a mighty move of God outside the church. People which are not part of the church, but really searching for truth. I mean, especially we see amongst the Iranian church. It's amazing the response of Romanian people which said, I need a Bible. Can you give me the word of God? Very hungry, where you meet people which are from atheism, especially young people, when they come from Lordswood School, when you chat with them, they said, oh, I want to know what really we as Christians so believe, because I'm always bothered by the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And then I give out boxes full of New Testaments from the Gideons. And so we see that is two extremes, side on side. And the question is, which side we want to stand? Do we want to stand and be part of it, what God is doing, pouring out his spirit on all flesh? Or are we part of the one which are sitting back and only observing things, but not taking part in it? That's the reason why, Pastor, you mentioned Friday, you should be in the powerhouse of God. The engine of the church is the prayer meeting, without any question. More important than the Sunday service.
Yes.
The Sunday service is important, and also the Bible study is important, doctrinal teaching to grow in spiritual maturity. But without prayer, nothing has happened. God have chosen prayer as a vehicle that his work will be done on earth by his people. And the wonderful thing is that God is our loving Heavenly Father. He knows our circumstances, our family circumstances, our work circumstances, and he wants only that we yield ourselves to him. And the Bible makes it very clear that God will open doors when we're willing to respond. Because many times it's difficult to talk to family, to relatives, because they know each other, and they know our weaknesses, our shortcomings, but we need to stand for the truth. And that sometimes in different areas, like I come from a Roman Catholic family, when my sister, then later, you know, the children had done the baptism, then the confirmation. What are you doing? When I told her I can't be the witness for her children because I believe the Catholic Church is not a Christian church. It stir up tension, but later it opened up debates and talks. Why? What is different in your belief? And then you can share and open up the Bible. And sometimes we need to take a stand. And that is not easy. It's easy to follow the flow. Said, oh, I don't want to offend them. I want to be a Christian next to it. But you will never be a Christian which can witness to them when you take part in it. Also we need to take sometimes a stand, the Bible, and make it very clear. And the Bible said it then later, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive adoption as son. And you can only be a son or a daughter of God through a born-again experience. You may be a creature of God, but you're not a child of God. You need to make it very clear. There's a reason why ecumenical unity is nonsense. Because how can you work together with churches which don't believe in the gospel to evangelize the world? You need first to clarify what is the gospel, what is a real issue in society, and how can we bring God into the situation? Und that is very important as Christians, that we have first mal a clear biblical understanding what a Christian is, what the gospel is, how can I share it. Also, when you many times hear testimonies from baptism, they said, oh yeah, I decided to become a Christian or to be baptized, and I grew up in the church, I grew up as a Christian, but they don't bring really the testimony in first, I was lost and now I'm found. There's no repentance, no conviction of sin. And sometimes you can have done fake conversion because they've never really understood what it is to be a Christian. For them, they think to join a church, they maybe enjoy the worship, maybe they enjoy some other things what is going on in the church. But the question is, are they truly born again? Is that truly true repentance? It's truly a change of life. You see, when you're truly born again, you can't live like a devil. You can't live without church. I don't believe this. You can't live without having your quiet time, because something the Holy Spirit have done in your heart, and you can't go back to the world. You would be in misery because you feel condemned, you feel uneasy to be doing things which is contrary to the scripture. And in the same way, you torture your own soul. What the Bible said, that what really people did in the Old Testament, which were believers, like staying in Sodom and Gomorrah or in other places which were so contrary to God, when the Bible said they tortured their own soul because they knew the reality of Christ, of God, of salvation, of heaven and hell. But they were really in underground. They lost their ability to be a light in the dark. And Jesus, when you read Matthew 5 and 6, especially speaks about it, that we are the light of the world, that we are the salt, you see, but the salt need to be salty, since people will trumpet it down. And we can see when our light is not shining in front of people and say, sorry, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. Or when people say, oh, can you lie for me, this and this? And I said, you can't do it. There's in some things where you need to take a stand. And believe me, when you take the stand, people will more respect you. And when people go through tough times, they come back to you because they can trust you. They know that you will not cheat them because of your biblical understanding. They know that you will not lie for them or lie to them because they know your character. They know who you are. We're not perfect. We have weaknesses in our life where we have to work on, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Word of God and the church, brothers and sisters, where we can pray together and encourage each other, we can be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And that is really on Father's Day the main job of a father, to be a spiritual example. You see, you can't say to them things, don't do this, but you do them. You see, you have to give an example. And when the kids see that you really follow Christ, when you really have these principles, then you will really be respected and they will listen to you. And that is very important what we have to do. And that is the reason why really the love of God is the heart of the church. When you really love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, then all other things will fall into place. We're not following different rules and regulations. Jesus said he fulfilled the law. We don't follow different rules and regulations. We follow a higher law, and that is the law of Christ. When the Bible said there is only two commandments, love God with all your heart and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And when that is in place in your personal life, in your family life, when that is in place in your church life, then the love of God will explode in the church. And people want to be part of it because they said, we want to be a part of this people, because most people are lonely. That's a fact. That's the reason why they get a dog. You see, get a dog that have something to do, to walk around, or people all the time on the phone, you see, entertain them to cover up the loneliness or whatever it is. But we see a lot of people are very lonely. When you talk with them also later and you really approach them and speak to their conscience, then people open up. And then the Bible said, we can bring in, said, I know a place where you will never be lonely. First, you will have always fellowship with the living God who will fulfill your heart. That the Bible said, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will fulfill every area in your life. And the second thing is, when you're lonely and you come to know the Lord, you come to church, you build friendships, relationships. That is what God created the church for. Because you have two kinds of church. One church is the invisible body of Christ, every believer in the world. And then you have the local assembly where you can build friendships, relationships, and where you can build each other up, where you can open up and say, I go through this difficult time. Can you pray with me? Can you come with me to do this and this? Whatever you need help for. I struggle with the computer to deal with different things. Who is in the church, a person which is really good with computers, to help me, to explain things to me? Or whatever it is, whatever the issue is. And that is real love, practical love, where we support each other. And that builds relationships, spiritual relationships which will grow. And when people see the love we have for each other, then people want to be part of us. Like when you do the outreach with the other churches, they see the love you bring, the time you invest, the resources you invest to help them. And that will build friendships, relationships, like the same with the churches, the LBC churches between each other, where the support is with each other, where you can support each other, motivate each other, share about disappointment, share about great things God is doing, and you can build each other up. And that is really what God wants. And that is really all the Father's Day about, that we be a spiritual leader, that we give the guidance which way to go and point people always to Christ. Always pointing people to Christ and said, Christ has the answer. Whatever thing you go through, and Christ will help you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. The scripture shows us, and that God shows us how we can love our children, which are maybe running wild at the moment, that we can still have patience and show them the love of Christ, but also show them that we have to discipline them. Because that is the other side of the problem today, that there is no discipline and they run wild. And that as long as you're under my roof, you come to church. Because sometimes they can be drawn away by other things and they don't understand really the importance to be in the house of the Lord. And parents have the responsibility, according to Proverbs, to teach a child the way it should go. And when you teach them really the way it should go, it can maybe sometimes my backslide, but it will always come back because the word of God is in their heart. They will remember, like with the son, which left and said, I want my money, go all over the place, and later he's with the pigs, and then he remember, wow, wonderful was it in my father's house. And in the same way, they will remember, wow, the scriptures, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They will remember how blessed it is when brothers and sisters are in unity, and they will come back and have a spirit of repentance, and God will restore them. Although we really put the two things in the center of church life, to love God first with all our heart, and then your neighbor, because you will never be able to love your neighbor without the help of God, because there are some people which drive you nuts. To be honest, some people are hard to get on with. Some people disappoint you and hurt you. And it's not only say, oh, I forgive you, and still harbor things in your heart. You need the Holy Spirit to soften your heart. And that the Holy Spirit, because I can say, really, in my ministry, the most people which stabbed me in the back were believers, not non-believers. Mm-hmm. That's a fact, and that's very sad, you see. And that is sometimes where it's hard to forgive, because they know the Lord, they know the scripture, but they acted contrary to the scripture. And that is where we need the Holy Spirit, really, to ask God to soften our heart. Not only say, I forgive you, sondern that you're willingly to lay it down, because you realize that God has forgiven you, that you are able to forgive them. And that is not easy. But the Bible said, really, if we surrender ourselves to God, that God promised in his word that he will restore us. He will soften our heart. He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit, where we have the commandment, be filled with the Spirit of God. That's in Ephesians 4:30. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And we live in the time period of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, that we should more cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he is the agent in our time period, from the time of Pentecost until the rapture, God takes us home. And we live in this wonderful time window where we can see that the return of Christ is at the door. And that is the reason why we should give everything we have, our time, our resources, our skills and abilities, into the kingdom of God. And you should invest it in your church where God put you in. That is very important. And then the Bible said, he will give the increase. And sometimes we go through time periods of dryness. We may be faithful in our ministry of dryness, like Jeremiah. He was faithful in his ministry, but no one was listening to him. And still, he walked in the will of God. Or you can later come in a time period where God is bringing the harvest in, because other people worked in the past and sowed the seed, or you sowed the seed for many years. Or when you read missionary stories, that people sometimes for 20 years, 30 years worked and saw not one convert, but they lived in the will of God. And then suddenly it was a breakthrough, especially with the Korean revival, that almost suddenly the Spirit of God took over the nation. And in the same way, we can see this very soon, because we believe we live on borrowed time. That the return of Christ is at the door. When he said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. The question is the church ready when God brings up almost 200-300 people in? That is the question, are we ready? Many churches are not ready, because they're very inward looking. Because then you have not met your favorite seat, maybe someone else take your seat. Or probably, or someone, or some people come in which are maybe smelling not nice, or some people coming in which are a little bit of nonsense. But the question is for you, are you willing to accept the people which God brings in and help them to become more and more Christ-like? And we saw it with the Wesleyan revival, which people came in, and God changed the people when God brought them in through the Wesleyan revival. And we see also the Moravians when they went all over the place. Although the same thing he can do today and much more. That is what Ephesians said. He can do more than we cannot comprehend. And I know the time is going very quickly. Let us really pray that God help us new to understand that God is our loving Heavenly Father. He wants the best for us, but he will also discipline us when we're not in the right place. He will deal with issues. When we read it in the book of Hebrew, huh? When you love your son, you will discipline him. And God is doing this, I believe, with the church at the moment in the nation, because we see a lot of bad stuff going on inside the church, where you sometimes your hair can stand up when you see on YouTube what's going on in some churches. In churches without Christ, churches without gospel. And many times when you speak out, you get a quite strong opposition. But that is what the Bible promised you. He promised you anyone who wants to live a godly life will suffer persecution. There will be a backlash. You see, when darkness and light comes together, there will be a backlash. There will not be people saying, oh, sorry, I don't want to offend you. Or this. People become really upset sometimes. But we need to stand. We can say we love you, but we reject what you promote, what you believe, because it's contrary to the word of God. And God needs to give us this boldness that we have backbone to stand up for the true when other people are passing by. Because I had this week one guy, one of the beggars, were really harassed by three people which were hitting him and this kind of thing. Oh no, I never walked over and said, in the name of Jesus, you don't do it when I'm here. And I rebuked them in the name of Jesus and told them, they standed up, three Muslim lads. And I told him, not here, that we love people. You can agree to disagree, but not become violent. And sometimes we have to stand up for people around us, stand up for our belief, and then God will always reward us. God will always confirm the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you gave us these two commandments, to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with our whole being, and our neighbor as ourselves. And Father, we confess that we are many times not able to love unlovely people. Sometimes people have hurt us. We find it very difficult to forgive them. But Father, you promise that your Holy Spirit is powerful enough to take any bitterness, any frustration out of our heart and to forgive with a whole heart. And we pray, especially inside church, Lord, the devil try to come in to bring disharmony, to destroy the unity, the love of each other. And we rebuke the devil for this. But Father, we also rebuke people which are not willing to come under the word of God and to be willing to forgive with their whole heart, to work differences out, to deal with the issue. And Father, we thank you that you promised that we're two or three together, that you're amongst us, and that your spirit can bring true love and unity in the fellowship. We thank you for Pastor Nick. We thank you for the leadership. We pray for them that you give them much wisdom how to deal with difficult issues, and that you give them grace and love and your wisdom. Father, we thank you for this. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.